Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the Northern Grower podcast. This episode is going to be looking at starting seeds indoors. The how, the what, the when, the why do we do what we do? Now, as with most things I find, there isn't really a set in stone way of doing it or a right or wrong way. If you even Google starting seeds indoors in zone 3, there is so many different opinions and different ways and methods of doing it. So in this episode, I'm hoping to just give a basic overview of what we do here at Greenwich Seeds and see if that can at least provide a starting point for you if you are new to starting seeds indoors or you've been doing it for a long time and it's always good to just have an open mind and maybe be open to some new ideas. Or indeed, if you have anything to share, you can also give us feedback and let us know what works for you. We're always open to trying new things here. So all of our social media information will be at the end of the episode if you do want to reach out. And we also, I can let you in on a little bit of news here. We also have a Patreon in the works, but it's not set up yet. We're still building ideas and deciding what to do, but a Patreon seems like just a really good format of being able to set something up, and we're always looking for ways to improve our connections, our community, and our presence, and ways to improve our podcast as well, so that's a new idea we've got, and we're building and working on that as of right now. So we will keep you updated as we go. Okay, so the seeds, starting seeds indoors. So how, what, when, why do we do it? So let's start with what we are starting inside. So we like to start, not all plants start inside. We don't start everything inside. But here in Zone 3, and especially here in Alberta, we can get frost days into the middle of May, possibly even to the end of May, and then there's still a possibility of the first frost starting in September. Snow can hit in May, September. We have a very, very short growing season, as I'm sure you know if you do live in Zone 3. You're probably well aware of that. There's a lot of pressure to produce and grow in a short amount of time, although these summers we tend to have very nice summer weather, so they're short, but we do have productive summer weathers. But what we do start inside, it really depends on what plant we are planting. We plant, for example, some seeds we have success right from the get-go outside. They go straight in the ground. So colder, hardier varieties, we do start outside. So just as I said in the last episode, in episode 6, where we focused on garlic, we plant our garlic outside. We have a Russian blue variety of garlic. It's pretty cold hardy, so that goes outside. We also enjoy cold frames. We make good use of our cold frames. And so we will in late February, early March, we will start to plant cold hardy greens in cold frames. So our kales and lettuces, they do enjoy that as well. So we do plant out in our cold frames pretty early in the year here. And things like carrots, potatoes, radish, some other plants, we can combo both inside and out. It depends how much we want to plant and when we want to plant it. So sometimes we maximize the time of growing here and maximize our harvest and our productivity by starting an earlier round of plants indoors earlier on in the year, in that springtime, February, March. And we get some germinating, we get some rounds of plants germinating, some runs of them, and then we can plant them outside fairly early on in the year. And then that means a lot of the time those plants, depending on what it is, they are ready to harvest by the early summer, and we can usually then also get a second wave going as well a little bit later. And so by late summer, early fall, we might have a second round of harvest. So we kind of do it to maximize our harvest and bump up the harvests we get throughout the summer. So we have been using and starting growing plants indoors quite successfully. And a lot of the plants that we start inside include herbs. And in the summer, we actually then, once we reach that good summer growing season, we plant the second round of herbs outside. So we start rounds of dill, parsley, cilantro, our alliums, corn, brassicas, mustards, anything like that. We start an early harvest indoors. And then in the summer, we plant a second round of those plants. Late spring, really. We plant a second round of those plants and we just put them straight outdoors because we're past those frost days. And some plants we always start indoors. So some plants, without question, we always start indoors to have the best success and germination rates. So tomatoes and peppers are our main ones, our big ones. So they like it to be hot for germination. So they like that constant, they enjoy like the constant hot temperatures. And although our summer here is great, it's quite hard to get tomatoes and peppers to germinate outside and to germinate rapidly. It can take quite a long time for them to get a good run of them germinating if we plant straight into the ground. So we always start lots of tomatoes and peppers indoors without question. And oddly enough, squash is another one that we have struggled to get to germinate outside, but whenever we start squash inside and transplant it outdoors later, we seem to have good success with our squashes and pumpkins that way. So I'm not sure what works for other people, but we can never seem to get success with our squashes just going straight outside for germination. We always have to start our squash indoors as well and then get that outside. And again, just why indoors? Well, we have the cold climate. It's maximizing what we can grow. It gives us a jump start on the year. You're extending your season. And it also has, usually for us, it's the highest success rate we have for germination. We can plant our rows of our seeds down, and we know most of those, the majority of our seeds are going to germinate this way. Outdoors, we tend to find that we get smaller germination rates. We might still get that germination, but we're not maximizing it. We're not maximizing it to its fullest potential. Now, let's look at setup, how to set up starting indoors. We use a shelf system. We use shelving with lamps and heat mats. And there are lots of really beginner budget-friendly ways of doing this. When we first started growing indoors, like many things in the gardening world, some things just kind of seemed intimidating and also expensive to get into. For example, when we did first start growing indoors, we could not afford the proper lights and a heat mat system. And so really, if you really wanted to start, you could just put a tray or a pot anywhere under a good light inside, like a little, if you even had like a desk lamp, and even under there, just to give it a try, see if it works for you. But we right now have a shelving system set up along one. We have a room in our house, and we have a lot of shelves along in this room. And we didn't go out and buy new shelving. This shelving was very cheap. It is just a very functional, it's very functional shelving. It does not have to look beautiful or like this fantastic, well put together interior room. It's just the seed starting room. So we had shelves put up from scrap wood that we managed to save from other projects that was just given to us. So we have shelves from scrap wood. And we also have hand-me-down shelves. We got, we know someone who's closing a shop, and we got a whole run of metal, like the wire metal shop shelving. We got a big run of that as well, secondhand. So that's our shelving setup. And it really, really doesn't have to be fancy. And if you can, try to find something secondhand, thrift it. There's tons of shelves. If you even look on Marketplace, people just don't want... It just seems to be flooded with shelves. You can buy shelving relatively cheap or find some secondhand hand-me-down stuff. Now, our lights, like I said, when you're starting out, you may opt for just a regular desk lamp. See what your success is like with that. And we do go for quite big lights. We have the T5 fluorescents, you want to grow in that. We have T5 fluorescent and LED lights. That's what we use. Or the other recommended type could be like a high pressure sodium light. But we like the T5 fluorescents and LEDs. And we have those hanging. If you think of a typical shelf, we will have our seed trays on the shelf. And then hanging from the shelf above are the lights. So we have hooks on the shelves underneath, and our lights hang off those hooks above the seed trays. And we use heat mats, and we keep our heat mats on when we are trying to germinate a run of plants, a run of new seeds. We keep the heat mats on at 24 degrees all the time. So initially, when we just want to get that germination going, we have the mats on at 24 degrees. Now, this could also depend on your house temperature. If your house is generally a pretty warm house and you can maintain a 24 degree indoor temperature, you probably might want to try starting some indoors without a heat mat. However, our house is quite older and it's a little bit more drafty in here, and it tends to maintain a temperature of around 20 degrees. And even in spring, even in the late winter, spring, early spring, when we have those colder days, our house can sometimes still drop to 18, 15 degrees on a night. It's not a warm house. So we do have heat mats on our plants under our trays. We keep those at 24 degrees Celsius when we are trying to get our germination going. The next thing we use is seed starting trays. You want trays to just start your seeds in. And we tend to go for the low kind of smaller, anything like trays that you can scatter lots of seeds in or plant lots of rows. Those work really well. We got our seed starting trays when we bought like the kind of almost the mini indoor greenhouses you can buy. They came with the trays to start in, but you can also upcycle lots of things in your kitchen. So if you're thinking about starting indoors, you might want to also think about starting to save some of these common plastic items in your kitchen so you can convert them into trays. So you can save, if you eat eggs, you could save the plastic egg cartons. Those are really ideal. Those are good seed starter trays. And you could also use old margarine, yogurt, the salad boxes as well, like the plastic boxes that would have leafy greens in. Those work really well. Just drill holes in the bottom to ensure and allow for good and proper drainage. But really, it's just no different than buying a plastic seed tray at the store, and you are reducing new plastic. You're reducing that, adding something into the cycle. So recycling is a really good way to go. And as a side note, I We get eggs from a farmer friend in the summer. Hens lay a lot in the summer. They lay a lot of eggs, and they are, well, kind of going off on a little tangent about hens. They do a fantastic job in your garden. Hens are a good asset in a garden. They scratch up that dirt. They provide manure. And in return, you get those eggs. And I'm a little bit obsessed with hen keeping right now. It is my latest interest and my little side passion. But I don't have hens yet. I don't have a small flock. So I'm hoping in the future we can get into a small flock for the garden. But anyway, we were getting a lot of eggs throughout the summer, and we had a lot of cartons build up. And now I saw on Pinterest this craft idea of saving the egg cartons to use as seed starting trays. And you notice I might have said before when we were at the start, when we were talking about seed starting trays, to use the plastic egg cartons. So the egg cartons I was getting were the paper ones, and there was this cute Pinterest post, and they had this picture of, you know, the papery egg cartons and how you could turn them into cute little planters to start seeds in. And I thought, oh, that's a really good idea. But once I put that compost in and then kept moist, I don't know how they came up with this Pinterest post, because once I tried it, I kept the soil moist, because you need to ensure the soil is moist and you're getting good watering in. My egg cartons just disintegrated. The paper just was constantly soaking wet, and it just started falling apart. So if you are going to use egg cartons, or you're thinking of saving some, make sure they're the plastic ones. The paper ones did not work very well for me. And the next thing we use is a spray bottle for water. If you're currently working through some spray bottles right now, you could always just save one and then make a nice little label for it. If you're going to get one, get a glass one if you're going to go out and buy one, and just keep reusing it. But spray bottles are really essential for those little baby seedlings, those little seeds, because we have found if you just go in there for watering and you just pour like a watering can or a cup of water over there, the water is so, you get like the stream, and it's too much pressure, and I always find it pushes the dirt and the seeds around, and then it might flood one part of your tray but not the other. And we definitely prefer using a spray bottle. It just seems to give the seedlings or the seeds in the soil a nice mist. It's even, and you're not pushing, you know, the water's not flooding through the soil and pushing those really fine, tender seeds around. And then the next thing we also use are you need to label your containers with what variety, when you planted it, just to help you keep track. So, and lots of seedlings, depending on what family they're from, they all look the same. Seedlings can all look really similar. Like all the brassica type seedlings all look the same. Greens, they all look the same. So just depending on, it can actually be really hard to tell your seedlings apart. And then if you forget to label them, you have to do the fun trick of, well, I'm just going to wait and see what this turns into. You get the surprise of just seeing what plants they turn into and when they grow to maturity. So if you are one of those gardeners who keeps track, you are going to make sure that you label those containers. You can save craft and popsicle sticks. They work really well for that, the wooden ones. And then just write in pencil or Sharpie if you want to write in Sharpie and reuse them. But it's just a really nice little idea that quite often sometimes we don't think about. But once you get started, you are going to find it really helps. And also, as a side note, I also want to say we've had success starting indoors, just even putting containers on south-facing window ledges, so no extra lamps on them, no heat mats, nothing. They were just on south-facing window ledges. They're getting a lot of sun all day. And then even at that time of year, it's still cold and frosty, but the heat is coming in as well from the sun, and it's almost creating like a greenhouse effect through the window. So we've had some success as well with just putting ledges on, plants on those southern facing window ledges. So what we tend to do is we just fill up our seed trays with compost. If you have your own compost available to you, that's all we use. We use our own compost. You can seek local compost out too. Lots of ways of getting local compost. So even in our area, in our local gardening community, in our local neighborhood, people are always advertising if they have a lot of compost, or if you are able to utilize any kind of local gardening pages, like join a local Facebook gardening group if you can. Usually if you put out a shout out for compost, there are people willing to lend you compost or at least tell you where you can get some local stuff. Or if you really have to, you can always go to the garden center and just buy the seed starting mix. So we will just fill one of those trays with the compost we need, and then we tend to plant in rows. We then also tend to keep our seeds moist. We water frequently, and we keep the lights on in our indoor garden for about 12 hours a day, approximately 12 hours, about 6 a.m. when we get up, turn on those lights around 6 p.m. in the evening, make sure we turn them off. And we also initially keep the mat on at all times to just try to speed up that germination process by having that constant temperature. And that's all you do. We just keep at it, keep watering, keep checking in on them, make sure we're just turning the light on during the day. And then you start to see those little seedlings. So germination rates could vary depending on what you're planting, but you will eventually see those little seedlings pop up. And we keep them indoors until we get a good amount of germination, until most have germinated. And generally they seem to be pretty consistent this way. We tend to get a consistent rate. And when you've got your little, you'll have a little army of seedlings. We try to keep indoors until frost has passed. So I think last year we had a late winter and we ended up having to keep our run of tomatoes indoors for quite a while. And we had to upgrade pretty quickly to some transplanting into some bigger containers. And we had tomato containers around our house just spilling out. Our tomatoes actually got to a pretty decent size in the house before we could put them outside last year. But usually you can keep indoors until risk of frost has passed, and then you're able to take them outside and start to transplant them into your yard. Of course, when you're transplanting, we never transplant straight from indoors to outdoors. We actually put the trays outside for a few days just to allow the plants basically to harden up. They've got to get used to the weather, and we're just trying to reduce the transplant shock that we can. So we put outdoors for a few days, and we want to get used to the kind of fluctuations of the weather outside. It's not as consistent as indoors. Do check the weather though. We have had instances where we put trays out that morning, you know, in preparation for planting out, and we did not realize in that afternoon there would be severe thunderstorms, and we have lost trays to hailstorms and severe thunderstorms. So check to make sure the weather is at least going to be fairly friendly to you for a few days, and just pop them outside, let them get used to the weather for a few days, and then you can start to work on you can start to transplant them. And again, transplanting used to seem like a scary thing. I was always worried I was going to harm or kill my plants because I thought, oh gee, my hands are fairly clumsy hands. But most things seem to transplant pretty well. Let them go out for a few days. And when we tend to kind of scoop when you're getting them out of that seed tray, I just sort of scoop the soil a little bit around them and I pull them up. So you've got the roots and a little clump of soil usually. When you pull that plant out of the seed tray, I never pull by the stem because otherwise you just end up pulling the seedling off by the stem and the roots are still in the tray. So I scoop it out around the roots and then I'll make a little hole in my, you've got to prep your outdoor garden bed prior to putting them out, of course. You might go out there and just loosen the soil, scatter some compost, get your bed nice and prepped outdoors for those seedlings. And then I'll just make that little hole in the ground and pop that seedling in and just loosely just gather some soil around it there just to ensure it does stay in. And sometimes our plants, give your plants some time when you do transplant. Quite often, in fact, more often than not, they are not going to look happy for a few days. They do get a bit of shock, but we just leave them. And eventually they start to take and then they'll get comfortable being outside and being in their new home and they will look better. But don't be disheartened if the first time you ever transplant some seedlings and you think, oh gosh, they look wilted and they don't look super happy outdoors. Try to give them a chance. More often than not, they do bounce back quite well and will go on to produce fruit or vegetables and seeds and herbs. So it's just, it can just seem kind of daunting and scary at first. And also, as best as you try, I do also lose a few plants when I transplant, just because as much as gentle as I try to be getting them out of the tray, I sometimes also break a few of them. So it could be quite normal to lose one or two plants in the transplanting process. But that's our 101 on just what we do here at Green Witch to get our seeds started indoors and our process that we go through in our setup. If you do have any questions, comments, please feel free to reach out. You can reach out at our email, thenorthengrowerpodcast@gmail.com. You can check in or follow us on Instagram at green.witch.seed.co, which is kind of more my personal and creative and kind of, you get to see a little look in the day-to-day lives of us here at Green Witch. And you can also, we have a shop and a blog at greenwitchseed.ca. And if you do go to the Instagram, all the links are in our Instagram profile. So it's a good little place to start. Thank you for taking the time to check in. I appreciate you all. Warmest wishes. Keep warm out there. It's a cold weekend this weekend. And I wish you a happy growing season. Take care.